Prabhupada's health was not very good, and Prabhupada was eating only very little. One day Prabhupada told that if he could take 4 chapatis, then he would consider that he has become healthy. But unfortunately Prabhupada couldn't take more than 1 chapati. Sometimes he wouldn't even take that much. And those chapatis are not very thick. They were very, the way he used to make those chapatis were very thin. Prabhupada was very particular about how the chapatis were made. He used to like the chapati to be soft, and it should swell up completely like a silver. If it did not, when you put it, first you roast the chapati on a pan. They call it tawa. It's an iron skillet, sort of. And first you roll the chapati and then put it on there and you roast it. And then you put it on a flame and then the chapati swells up. And the good chapati will swell up like a football. But if it didn't swell up, then Prabhupada was not happy about it. So we have to be very, very particular about how we make the chapati for Srila Prabhupada. And then the chapati also had to be not very thick, it had to be thin of certain consistency. And Prabhupada mostly used to take chapatis with this. Very rarely Prabhupada took rice, although I would cook rice also, thinking that if Srila Prabhupada wanted, but Prabhupada never took rice, at least when I was serving Srila Prabhupada. He never took rice, he was only taking chapatis. But he could hardly eat. And then one day, very important person came to Srila Prabhupada. His name is Sriman Narayan. He is a retired governor of Madras, ex-governor of Madras. And his brother-in-law, Ramkrishna Bajaj, he was the chairman of Bajaj Industry, very big industries that make various types of automobiles and motorcycles and scooters and things. Big industrialist. One day two of them came to see Srila Prabhupada. And seeing Srila Prabhupada's health condition, they suggested that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh at the foothills of the Himalayas next to the Ganges, because they were proposing that maybe the Ganges water and that area will help Srila Prabhupada to recuperate. And Prabhupada was traveling so extensively, so his body was naturally exhausted. So they suggested that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. They actually arranged a house for Srila Prabhupada. They're very wealthy people, very influential people. I don't think that house belonged to them, but it was one of their relatives' house or something. At that time, that was the most beautiful house in Rishikesh. Now it is, of course, many big buildings have come up. But those days, that was just a picturesque building on the bank of the river Ganges. So they proposed that Prabhupada went to Rishikesh. And Prabhupada also liked the idea. He said he never been to Rishikesh before. And he also thought that Ganges, being next to Ganges will be good, and Ganges water will be good to drink. So then arrangements were made, and 3 of us accompanied Srila Prabhupada. We flew to Delhi, and from Delhi we drove to Rishikesh. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Upendra Prabhu, and myself. Already some other devotees were in Rishikesh to and made the arrangements for Srila Prabhupada. Trivikram Maharaj was there, Pramana Swami and Biraha Prakash Swami, they were already there, and there were a few other devotees also, I don't remember. And so we came to Rishikesh. It's a beautiful place. And when we arrived, Prabhupada wanted to drink some water. And Upendra Prabhu brought some water, but Prabhupada didn't like the idea. Prabhupada said, "Did I come all the way to Rishikesh just to drink tap water?" And so I immediately got the idea. And I heard Prabhupada saying that when he came to Rishikesh, when he would go to Rishikesh, he would drink only Ganga water. So I immediately took the pot and ran to the Ganges and brought the water and served it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada drank it and he was very happy with that water of Ganges. Prabhupada was optimistic that his health condition would improve, and so we were serving Srila Prabhupada. Few other devotees also came and joined. One was Jadugar Prabhu. He was filming at that time Srila Prabhupada, so he came to Rishikesh. Or he came to India with a project to film Srila Prabhupada. So he was there. And then besides Trivikram Maharaj, Viraha Prakash Maharaj, Ramana Swami, there was also Govidas Pandit. He was Tamakrishna Maharaj's servant. He was serving Tamakrishna Maharaj. And there was, Pradyumna Prabhu joined us after a few days. He was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. And so we were there serving Srila Prabhupada. It was very nice. And Prabhupada was very relaxed for at least for the first few days. In the evening, Prabhupada used to give darshan. It's a Rishikesh being a holy place, a place of pilgrimage. Many pious people come there, and Srila Prabhupada used to give darshan in the evening. Many people used to come to see Srila Prabhupada. The news spread that Srila Prabhupada came to Rishikesh, and people became very excited and they wanted to see him achieve some, receive some spiritual guidance. So in this way, every evening Srila Prabhupada used to give darshan. But then we found out that it was exhausting Srila Prabhupada also, because many people were coming, they were asking many questions. Prabhupada also was, whenever there is an opportunity to preach, Prabhupada always took that opportunity and he took full advantage of that. So Prabhupada was speaking to many people in the evening, and it used to go on till quite late. Prabhupada used to start giving darshan at 5 o'clock, sometimes it used to go on till 7:30. And so one day Tamakrishna Maharaj suggested that we have to do something about the darshan time. And he decided that the darshan time will go only from 5 to 6. And at 6 o'clock, we used to take everybody out of the room. But after that, we used to take them out of Srila Prabhupada's room. But if there was some interested person, then we would continue to preach with them. Preach to them. Like, sometimes we would go up on the roof, sometimes we would sit in the balcony and preach to them. There was a lawn also, so sometimes we'd sit in the lawn. So I was just a new devotee at that time, but When I used to see that the others were preaching, I also felt like preaching. And so one day, one very nice, quite youngish sadhu came to see Srila Prabhupada. And so after they left, after Prabhupada, after 6 o'clock, they were asked to leave Prabhupada's room. I sat with this person and started to speak to him. And while speaking to him, it turned out that he is an impersonalist, he is a Mayavadi. So I started to smash his Mayavadi concept. And I quoted the verse, Vadanti tattatta vidastattva, jajganam advayam, brahmiti paramatmati, bhavavanti santati. So I was explaining to him that this Brahman realization is only the initial aspect, only the initial aspect of spiritual understanding. So the Brahman realization is actually the result of jnana. Jnanis who try to understand the absolute from the material perspective, from the mundane perspective, they approach through the process of neti neti, not this, not this. Is this the absolute? No, not this. And so through this process of not this, not this, or neti neti, they come to the end of the universe. And if they are fortunate, they even go beyond the coverings of the universe and they perceive the Brahma Jyoti. But seeing Brahma Jyoti, perceiving Brahma Jyoti is something like a blind man, or not a blind man, a person who has been in a dark room for a long, long time. If all of a sudden he is taken out in the and look at the midday sun, the way he would become blinded, that's what actually happens to the impersonalists, to the jnanis who try to understand the absolute truth through this material endeavor. But after realizing the Brahman, they become blinded. And if they're fortunate, then they realize that they have come to a dead end. They were looking for the absolute truth, but they, of course, have become blind. So then they would change their course. Instead of going externally, now they try to go internal. And that process of going internally searching for the absolute is the process of yoga. And through this process of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, when one perceives, when one achieves the success, the ultimate success of yoga, and perceives the super soul, then he sees the Lord in the heart as the super soul. And so through the process of yoga, one actually sees the super soul. But when one sees the super soul, he sees him as the super soul, as the supreme Lord, and sees himself in that light as the minute living entity. So he surrenders himself unto the Lord. And that surrender is actually the beginning of devotion. And by practicing this process of devotion, rendering devotional service, when one achieves perfection, then he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Bhagavan. So that is how the ultimate understanding of the absolute truth is Bhagavan. And the process is devotional service. Now, while I was explaining that to him, my voice became quite loud. And anyway, I don't know how much that person accepted it, But anyway, he left and I also went down. And when I went down, Bhupendra came and told me that Prabhupada wanted to see me. And when he told me that Prabhupada wanted to see me, I became worried. It occurred, then I realized that Prabhupada actually, that I was speaking so loudly to that person practically next to Srila Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada must have heard me, and now Prabhupada must be quite angry with me because the way I displease some sadhu. And so anyway, with a throbbing heart and an apprehensive mind, I approached Srila Prabhupada's room. I went to Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada asked me, as I apprehended, Prabhupada asked, "So what are you doing?" I said, "Prabhupada, I was preaching." Then Prabhupada asked, "So what were you preaching?" So I said, then I told that there was a Mayavadi sadhu, Mayavadi sannyasi, and I was trying to explain to him that Brahman realization is not the ultimate. The ultimate is Bhagavan realization. And I explained, I quoted the verse, and I tried to repeat in brief what I spoke to that person. The Prabhupada was very silent for a while. He didn't say anything. It was, seemed like Prabhupada was thinking quite deeply. And then when Prabhupada didn't say anything, I asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, did I say anything wrong?" And Prabhupada said, "No. What you spoke was very, very good, very correct." And naturally, I felt very excited and joyful. So this is how we are spending our days in Rishikesh, in very close proximity, very close association of Srila Prabhupada. And just a few of us, as if Srila Prabhupada was for us, Prabhupada was ours to serve him. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila.